Computer. We're ready.
All right, thank you. So welcome everybody to the 2024 CARC Parade. My name's Daphne McCants. If I haven't met you, I head up communications and outreach for CARC. And it's great to see those of you who are new, as I said before, and thank you again if you're just joining to those of you who invited newcomers. We really appreciate all of our active CARC members. You're really the lifeblood of the organization and what keeps us going. If you want to access the slides, I do have a QR code on here that will take you to a view-only version of the slides so that you can keep those and take a look at those. So I'm just going to go ahead and get started. So looking at CARC as an organization, if you're a newcomer, who is CARC? CARC is the most important thing to know about CARC is that we're community-led. We are an organization of research, computing, and data professionals, as well as related professions. So data scientists, data librarians, other folks that are in the community are also part of our community and welcome here. We do use the acronym RCD quite a bit when referring to research, computing, and data. So when you hear us talk about RCD, if you're not familiar with that acronym, we'll get you very familiar with it pretty quickly. CARC exists to support your career development. We're also here to help improve the visibility of the RCD profession. RCD as a profession is still, as we know, not greatly understood in every community. And that's another thing that CARC really focuses on. We want to be able to empower you to deliver the services and resources that you need to deliver to your researchers every day. And we want to offer you a strong professional network, as well as tools and resources that help you in your everyday job. So I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about how CARC was founded, but we did start about 8 years ago. We were originally founded with support from a National Science Foundation grant under Principal Investigator Jim Bottom. We've had a total of 3 NSF awards and are currently supported by the RCD Nexus grant that's led by Dana Brunson. And the great thing about CARC is that we just keep growing. We're currently up to more than 1,500 People Network members. We also have hundreds of active participants and volunteers from numerous organizations. If you want to take a look at who our sort of top individual volunteers are, you can go and check out our wall of thanks. And I really do want to continue saying thanks to those folks that show up. We have a really active volunteer base. And we would love for all of you newcomers to join us and become part of that. So why would you want to get more involved in CARC? Like I said, we will help expand your professional network. We also regularly on our list share career opportunities, job postings. We share information with each other, both in meetings and groups, but also just informally on lists. You can gain leadership experience if that's something that you're interested in doing. There's a lot of volunteer opportunities to be part of the leadership of CARC. And then you can also just help define and advocate for the future of the profession that you're part of. But more importantly than all this, I think we're all looking for ways to, make new friends, meet new colleagues, laugh, have a little fun with what we do. You can do that in CARC. You can meet people who are sharing the same problems and day-to-day struggles and challenges that you are, and, find friendships and humor. I've found CARC to be a really welcoming, really warm, welcoming group of people. And if you're wondering if you're welcome here, you are absolutely welcome. You're valued. You're needed here. We want you to join. We have a wide range of volunteer opportunities that include both one-time tasks as well as ongoing leadership roles. So if you're somebody that wants to have more of that leadership role, you can obviously step up and do that. Or if you're somebody that doesn't have a lot of extra time, but you really do just want to sort of dip your toe in the water, help out here and there, we also have those opportunities and we share those by the People Network. So I'm going to talk for just a second about how CARC is structured. So you'll hear us referring to the People Network, and we'll talk more about that here in just a moment. The People Network is CARC's main professional network. It also is divided into tracks that offer a year-round virtual conference that you can join based on what your interest and affinity is. They have monthly call topics, and those are also recorded to share on YouTube if you can't join the calls. We have interest in working groups that actually sort of dig in more and tend to do work and have deeper discussions on particular topics. And then we have operations groups, and those are the groups that kind of keep the lights on at CARC, that do things like talk about how CARC is structured, talk about governance, set up infrastructure that we use to keep CARC going every day. And in the middle of all these is the RCD Nexus, which is the CARC Resource and Career Center. It's the place that you'll find the tools and resources that CARC offers to help support you as an RCD professional. You're going to hear next from the leaders of a lot of these groups, and I'm going to hand it off next to Bob Freeman from Harvard Business School, who co-leads the People Network along with Lauren Michael from Internet 2. So, Bob.
Great, thanks, Daphne. I have to second Daphne's a lot of what Daphne said. I really enjoy working with CARC. The people are great. Probably more fun meetings than work. So I'd really encourage you to dig in and participate. As Daphne actually had alluded to, CARC, the People Network is one of the early efforts of CARC. Thank you for bringing up this around 2015. I always figured it was mid 20 teens somewhere. And as you said, we sort of think of it as sort of an online or ongoing remote or virtual conference that supports CARC's mission. And so we really aim to bring people together to foster, build, and grow an inclusive community, share knowledge, expertise, and experience, and resources. And I'll talk about that in a moment. It's modeled around the facings, but we do encourage you to join the People Network, and we'll bring up the QR code here in a couple of slides. So the facings were devised during the NSF workshop to discuss the current and future state of the RCD workforce, and it's really based on your role or what you face in your daily work, and we've modeled the tracks after that. So each track has its own flavor, its cadence and success criteria, or what each group likes to really champion about itself. And they're very diverse in their flavor, which is wonderful, sort of reflects community. So I'll step through each of those here. The data facing track. No, that's okay, Donnie, thanks. The data facing track actually has its call on the first Tuesday of each month. Amy and Deb are co-coordinators for that. And there are some of the topics that they talk about. The next one that we have, and these are in order of occurrence in a month, on this first Wednesday of each month, we have the strategy and policy facing track. We thank Amit and Patrick for their leadership on that. The researcher-facing track, one of the earliest tracks, sort of came out of the ACIRF network. That meets on the second Thursdays of each month. And Tobin and Justin are currently the leaders for that track. Since that one's been around for a while, it's one of the more popular ones. Is that's sort of the sort of what we think about as the standard research computing facilitation. But we now like to think of research facilitation in all of those facings. For the emerging centers track, it's on the third Monday of each month. That's the steering committee. Sorry, it's the third Wednesdays of each month. And Jane and Rich lead that. One of the special things about emerging centers is they actually have downloadable materials. So if not an emerging center, an emerging program, if you're developing new parts to your RCD center, you can look to their website for some of the materials there. And then finally, our last track in the month is third Thursdays of the month is the systems facing track. And Brian and Matthew are the leaders for that one. So each of these are all community run. The call content varies widely, can do presentations, panels, demonstrations. We really encourage you to get involved with the People Network. Have a couple of different ways here. You can join the People Network mailing list using this QR code. You can join or participate in the calls, help organize a community call, or even better, join a track steering committee. We really do appreciate fresh eyes, new and different perspectives, and experienced persons. And that really sort of enriches us all as a community. And for those of you that are involved in other RCD organizations, I'd like to invite you to consider partnering with CARC and the different tracks and the people in that work to really sort of build bridges across all of the groups. So a big thank you to all the track coordinators and the steering committee members for all their efforts. I'm going to pass the baton now to Dana Brunson from Internet2, who's our principal investigator on the RCD Nexus project.
Thanks, Bob. So yeah, I'm Dana. Hi, everybody. So RCD Nexus, as Daphne mentioned earlier, is the CARC Resource and Career Center. And what this is it's supported by a National Science Foundation grant we got a few years ago. And it aims to have tools, practices, and professional development resources to support both the individuals, like those in the People Network, and the institutions where they work. So in following me, you're going to hear a lot more about the various parts, activities of CARC that Nexus support, including the capabilities model, an RCD professional staffing survey that I hope all of you participated in a few years ago, the job family framework, career arcs, and then the new staff and student work groups that you'll hear very quickly. The thing I want you to think about, though, is if you're going to PERC, which I hope you can, please stay tuned and plan to come a day early to come to our annual RCD Nexus Day event. We'll try to have funding available to support some folks to come. And I think next I'm going to turn it over to hear more about the CARC interest in working groups to Tim Middlecoop from Internet2, who is co-chair of the staff interest group with Claire Mizumoto.
Yeah, thank you, Dana. I'm Tim Middlecoop, and I'm co-chair of the Research Computing and Data Staff Workforce Development Interest Group. This group is made up of professionals, pre-professional students interested in workforce development. This includes managers and supervisors that have professionals and students on their team, as well as RCD staff that are interested in the area of workforce development. Calls on specific topics have been previously included: onboarding, mentoring, working with students, among others. Many of the calls have led to PERC papers or spawned new working groups, such as the RCD Mentoring Working Group. Next slide, please. The calls are a mixture of discussion, idea generation, and result refinement. On our next call, we'll be discussing RCD workforce development topics that are on your hot list to help direct future calls and to inform the next RCD Nexus Day at PERC. Speaking of PERC, some of us are taking the results of the onboarding checklist work done during the last Nexus Day and the subsequent discussions we had during the interest group calls and writing a paper. If this is something you're interested in doing, come join us. And next slide, please. We meet on the second Tuesday of every month at 11 Pacific, noon Mountain, 1 Central, and 2 Eastern time. We share the time with the Student Workforce Development Interest Group and sometimes combining topics. So watch the People Network list for announcements. To join the list, please visit CARC and navigate to the staff workforce development page, or click or point your phone at the QR code. If you have any questions, please do not hesitate to reach out to Claire or myself. Up next, we have Brian Hairmore and from the University of Utah, who is co-chair of the Student Workforce Interest Group, along with Betsy Hillary from Purdue University. I'd like to also thank or acknowledge Anita for her past leadership in this group as well. Brian?
Brian Hamer, are you there?
He's there, but he's not being able to unmute.
I can jump in.
Okay, thank you, Betsy.
Hey, everyone, it's Betsy Hillary. I co-lead with Brian and Anita, as Tim had said. So we are part of the Student Workforce Interest Group, and we're really a collaboration with the staff and the mentoring group, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But who we are and when what we're trying to accomplish, this is for anyone in the RCD staff, faculty, administration, any of the facings that want to think about student workforce development. And we're really focused on the student as the centric part of this topic. things we've discussed are motivations for students' programs. So why have a student program? How do you fund it? What's the success metrics on campus? How do you sell it? We had a great panel in October where students have talked about becoming student to full-time practitioners. So we've done things like that. And we participate pretty heavily in the Nexus Day. Daphne, if you want to go to the next screen, thank you. So goals for this upcoming year, we want to really start to grow awareness and participation in the community and get a lot more artifacts out for people, like successful hiring practices, examples of how to do, again, the funding, maybe training requirements for how to be a good, you know, how do students get trained, and then identify other possible collaborations. So again, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. I think Daphne said we're really a community of communities. So we're looking to do things that can help other communities and other collaborations. And then we really want to drive topics for you. What are the student workforce interest groups needs of this community? And how does our team help facilitate that? Next slide. And then finally, when do we meet? We are, Tim said, we are the opposite of the student and staff. So we meet the second Tuesday of every month, combined meetings with the student and staff interest group. And then we are focused usually every other month. Well, we'll probably do February and March. Stay tuned. We will have the call doc and the information out. You have our contact information there. But and more importantly, if you have any questions, want to help join the team, reach out to me or Brian, because we're here and we're available to help. Next up is Deb McCaffrey from Arizona State University. Deb, do you want to take over?
Sure. Hello, everyone. Deb McCaffrey. I'm one of the chairs of the HIPAA Challenges group. This is kind of an organic thing. It was a few people who were just talking about how hard it is to support researchers with PHI. And from that conversation, we realized there was something more there. And we have finally figured out what that more is, which is very exciting. We've been talking about like specific challenges and with working with PHI. And so we're going to turn that into kind of like a white paper slash petition type thing. And try to present this to policymakers. So very lofty, but also very exciting. So next slide. If you're interested in helping out with this, we meet biweekly on Fridays at 2 Eastern, 11 Pacific. I put the coordinator's email on there if you're interested in joining. So right now we really need some writers in particular. So I'm the lead there, my email, and we have Jason Christopher as the other lead from UC Berkeley. Cool. And now I'll hand it over to Scotty Stretchin from Nevada System of Higher Education to talk about the EBSCoR group.
Okay, thanks. Daphne, can you hear me okay? All right. Thank you. Yeah, Scotty Strachan. I am sitting in here for Venice Baird. She's one of the other co-chairs for this interest group. She couldn't make it today, so you got me instead. So what is our interest group? We're kind of lightweight compared to a working group, but this is really focused on the EBSCoR program and also very much aligned with the NSF EBSCoR program. And so we're really a group of cyber infrastructure professionals, leadership in these EBSCoR jurisdictions, people who are involved in EBSCoR grants. We are really coming from the perspective of discussing the major issues around the cultural challenges. And by cultural, I mean like historic investment culture, historic coordination culture, in EBSCoR jurisdictions and universities and institutions associated with cyber infrastructure. So we discuss that. We're also forging ahead on what are some of the high-level messaging items that we need to get back into both the academic leadership on the edge side or the user side, as well as the NSF funding and program direction side. And we're also all about connecting people, just like the rest of CARC, sharing practices, creating opportunities for people to work together. Next slide, please. And what we're doing in 2024 is really, we're focusing on building up this EBSCOR CI Council, which is going to be a new organization with a CI representative from each EBSCOR state or territory. I should say that there are like 28, I believe, right now, EBSCOR eligible states and territories. So that's when we say jurisdiction, that's EBSCOR lingo for those locations. And the CI Council is going to attack some of these issues in a more formal way through the NSF EBSCOR program. But this interest group supports that. And so we're a bit more open in terms of membership. We're going to be helping them. We're going to be bringing forward some of the issues that were brought up during the recent workshop series, which you can learn more about. And if you're interested in this, if you identify with this group, feel free to get a hold of us. We don't have a regular meeting scheduled right now. They're all ad hoc in support of the CI Council. But you can email Denise, Sean, or myself with any questions. And so thanks for the time. I'm going to turn it over to Ashley Stauffer. She's from Penn State University. She's going to talk about RCD professionalization.
Thanks so much, Scotty. Hi, everyone. I'm Ashley. Like Scotty mentioned, I'm at Penn State University and one of the co-chairs for the RCD, or Research Computing and Data Professionalization Working Group. Who we are really RCD professionals, both at the individual contributor and manager leadership level, that are interested in more effectively communicating what research, computing, and data professionals do to HR professionals and also executive leaders within higher education. So we're folks both from data facing, policy facing, and strategy facing roles. Right now we're focused on visualizing the typical workflow, if you can say typical, you know, for a research facilitator. So we're getting into conversations about what is a research facilitator, who are research facilitators, and we're really trying to let the data drive some of our definitions in this area. So what types of activities do research facilitators engage in, with what type of people or departments or various types of stakeholders? Right now, we're focusing on populating a pilot visualization and developing a survey to get information to figure out what type of visualization do we actually, what would be most effective for the community. This is a timeline of our activities since 2014 to 2023. So really we have been engaged in a lot of work over time. I've not been the co-chair for that amount of time. There have been several co-chairs, and last round, Christina Mamone and Scott Yokel have passed it on to myself and Kim Grash at the University of Chicago to focus on the RCD facilitator visualization. We meet every Friday, twice a month at 1 p.m. Eastern. Our next meeting is on February 2nd. If you want to get involved, feel free to email myself or Kim. And we're currently focusing on building out our visualization, and we will be developing a survey with an IRB protocol and hoping to result in some papers, but also a visualization tool for RCD Nexus that helps the workforce. Next, I'll be passing this off to the capabilities model and Patrick Schmitz of Semper Cogito Consulting, who is co-chair of the capabilities model working group, along with Dana Brunson.
Thanks, Ashley. I'm Patrick, and I want to thank Dana, my co-chair for this group. I'm here to tell you about the Research Computing and Data's capabilities model, which, for those of you who have never heard of it, is a means of assessing support for computationally and data-intensive research using a structured model that helps you understand gaps and areas for improvement and understand how the broader community views RCD support. Our working group includes folks who lead or have led RCD programs and others who are helping define and build the tools we provide to the community and to support folks who are using these tools. We released the initial spreadsheet-based tool in 2019, and it was downloaded by about 180 institutions across the US, Canada, and a few international universities. We've received about 85 completed assessments and issued several reports on the resulting community data set. Now we're also adapting the tools to better fit the needs of smaller and emerging programs. Next slide. At the end of last year, we released our 2.0 version of the assessment tool, implemented as a web application on the RCD Nexus portal. And this provides a nicer user experience and is integrated with the database that collects the community data set. Next. Right now, we're working on a data visualization application that will allow anyone to explore the public data set, including the demographics of contributing institutions, summary data on the capabilities assessments, and what institutions have marked as priorities for their programs. Now, contributing institutions get access to more detailed data and the ability to benchmark their program relative to the community. Next slide. And this is a mock-up of the filtering UI we're currently building to slice and dice the data. One more click. There we go. This allows you to understand the aggregated data for different groups within our community. And we're using institutional metadata from IPEDS, the Department of Education, and other sources, including Carnegie classification, the institutional mission, size, research expenditures, things like that. Next slide. So we meet every Wednesday, although we alternate topics between the main group and the focus tools group, which I mentioned is looking at emerging and new and smaller programs. We would welcome more involvement. We're happy to have people who are interested in everything from the analysis of the community data sets to testing and evaluating new tools. If you're actually interested in contributing to building them, that would be even better. And we'd love to have you join. You can see the email there. Dana and I are the main working group co-chairs, but we've also got the subcommittee on focus tools, and that's chaired by John Hicks and Farouk Armani. And we'll thank them for all their work on that. So with that, I want to, I want to turn it over to Sam Porter from the University of Maryland, who along with me is a co-chair of the RCD Career Arcs Working Group, and he's going to tell you all about that. Sam, take it away.
Thanks, Patrick. Hi, I'm Sam Porter, so co-chair of the Career Arcs Working Group. And so this is a group that's focused on finding out who RCD professionals are and understanding the RCD professionals pipeline. So because the RCD professional roles are relatively new, it's not always obvious how people get into these roles, how they kind of navigate between different roles or advance their careers, why they might leave these roles for a different career role, a different role within the RCD profession or something outside of the profession. So we're looking at the factors that have influenced their decisions over their career and the factors that are going to influence them, and then measuring these across the cohort. So to that end, we're really conducting human subject research. We're conducting surveys, we're doing interviews, and then really trying to dig into the factors and the experiences that we learn about in those interviews. So we meet every other Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern and noon Pacific. And so there's different ways you can get involved. You can volunteer to possibly be interviewed. We're looking for folks in all parts of their career, whether you're new to RCD or you've been in for a while. And then the other way is to join the group. And you can do this to either help with analyzing the data that we've collected, or you can learn about how your local IRB functions so that you can relate better to researchers and become one of us so that you can help actually interview and help de-identify some of that data. So next slide, please. Yeah, so for the coming year, we're hoping to do some additional sharing and publishing of our work. I think 2 years ago now, PERC 22, this group produced a full paper that won best paper. So we're looking to get some more work out this year. We're really looking at developing the stories, the archetypes, the personas that we observe in the interviews, possibly creating some sort of visual RCD career maps that perhaps provide guidance for people new or in the RCD roles. And then exploring the data to create resources for the community. So this might be not just for people who are RCD professionals trying to advance their career, but also for managers and supervisors who want to understand how to recruit folks into RCD and how to retain them once they're in those roles. So with that, I am going to introduce Betsy Hillary from Purdue University for RCD Mentoring Working Group.
Hey everyone, I'm back. This is not planned, obviously. Welcome everyone again. So I'm part of the mentoring working group with ALPR, and one of the things that we're really passionate about a year or two ago, we started in the staff and workforce working group, and we started thinking about this topic of mentoring and what does mentoring look like. So for our working group, we're really starting to understand where does mentoring exist and who needs it. And that's of course, staff, faculty, administration, all facings, of course, need a mentoring program. So the things we're trying to figure out is what is actually existing in the community. And we're trying to leverage the staff and student workforce development groups to gather some of this community feedback. And we want to really understand what motivates a good mentoring program in RCD professionals. How do we establish one? How do we in an institution, and what staff and student mentoring programs exist today, which where our research is finding it's not, there's not a lot out there. And so we're trying to collect some mentoring resources to help share for the community. Next slide, Daphne. Some of the major things that we're going to be doing this next year is really trying to grow, again, the awareness in the community, get more involvement, because right now we're a really small group. We want to identify collaborations that exist in our broader community. For example, like EDUCAUSE has an amazing mentoring program. How do we utilize programs like that rather than reinventing? And we want to be able to publish artifacts of like, how do you mentor? What does mentoring mean? And again, looking at the community, trying to drive topics based on what the community needs are. And then we're exploring creating a membership, a mentorship program within the CART community. Next slides. So we are not really meeting as a community yet. We are still involving the student staff leaders, and we're also a couple people from CASC. And so if you want to get involved, we would love to have you involved. You can reach out to us through this this work email list, or you can contact me or ALPR directly. Again, we're here to help serve the community. And then next up, I get the luxury and pleasure of introducing Tom Cheatham from the University of Utah. Tom is the lead of the CARC Chairs Leadership Group, and he will talk about CARC Chairs in the Advisory Committee. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Betsy. And thanks, everybody, for coming and listening. We didn't really say how you can form these interest groups or working groups. Interest groups are lighter. Working groups have a charter, a timeline, and a deliverable. Typically. And anybody can form these. You may have noticed we have co-chairs for most of the committees, two or sometimes three. That helps things move along because you can't ignore your co-chair. And so the co-chairs work together and get stuff done. So I was the interim chair of CARC in the very beginning. I got elected chair. My term expired a long time ago. So I've been acting chair. But the chair doesn't really do anything besides write letters of support for grants. The real governance of CARC is the co-chairs that get together once or twice a month and talk over all the issues and kind of coordinate what different groups are doing so we don't reproduce each other. We also get together yearly in person, ideally, to resync up what's going on and find new activities. Supporting that role is also an advisory group on the next slide of people that know about CARC but aren't necessarily involved in the day-to-day operations. Ashley is, but some of the other ones are not, who are listed here. We've had them meet with the chairs at the annual retreat. We haven't leveraged them as much as we could. Some have rotated off because we did rotating terms from 1, 2, or 3 years. So I've been supposed to ask those people who rotated off if they want to stay on for another 3-year term, and I will do that soon. And so I think now I can turn it over to Lauren Michael. I think it's Lauren's talking about this.
Yes, thank you, Tom. I'm Lauren Michael, co-chair of the Logistics Operations Group with Dana Brunson, who you already heard from. And I do also co-coordinate the People Network with Bob Freeman. And like myself, a lot of the other members of the logistics operations group, one of our two operations groups, tend to have other roles across CARC activities. And a number of us have been involved since CARC's inception, like myself. But what we do is support coordination across CARC efforts, largely also through maintenance and support of infrastructure that our working groups, interest groups, and other activities like the People Network can rely on. So this includes that we're responsible for supporting, maintaining, updating the CARC website. There's even a subgroup from logistics that focuses on the website. We have templates and practices for all the CARC associated groups. And so if you're interested in creating an interest group for discussion or a working group with deliverables, it'll be the logistics group that supports you in setting that up and making sure that your co-chairs and members have the resources they need. So we also maintain email lists, calendaring, Google documents, and other Google cloud-based infrastructure that CARC activities rely on. And we're responsible for metrics and reporting as well, where there is also a subgroup specifically focused on metrics. So if you're interested in doing more with CARC or perhaps starting another group, we'll be happy to support you with that. And then we otherwise support all the other functions of CARC that you've heard about previously. And with that, I will hand it to Chris Reedy, who will talk about the other operations group, our engagement group.
Hi, yes, I'm Chris Weedy, and it's clear, at least to me, that the best was saved for last. As opposed to the logistics group, which is kind of about keeping the lights on, we are about outreach and engagement. The co-chairs of this group are Julie and Claire, and you can see they're the members. I would just like to thank Brian and Anita, particularly for their help with this group. And you've probably noticed how some of the members have moved around. They'll belong in one group for a while and after a while rotate to another group. So I think that's one of the strengths of this organization, is that you can follow your interests and jump from one place to another and make different contributions. So our group, you can see on the right side, we work with leadership to grow and retain membership and also the representation of different institutions. There are some examples there of the activities we've been involved in. And it's about communications, documenting, and having consistent marketing material. So if you have ideas on how you think CARC could grow and support the current members, more outreach, engagements with different institutions, feel free to come and join us and just chip in ideas if you have, or get involved as much as you feel like. And since this is the last group coverage, I'm going to hand this back to Daphne.
Thank you, Chris. And thank you all so much for presenting on your various groups. We got through all of that in record time. So we actually do have time to field some questions from the group if we have any. Just feel free to unmute yourself and ask. No questions? We answered all of them, huh? Well, that's a good sign. If you're not somebody who is open to or interested in asking questions in such a public forum, just want to let you know we're always here and ready to answer your questions at the email that you see here in the bottom corner, help@carc.org. We always have people monitoring that. And we're happy to answer your questions. Take a look and visit our website, carc.org. And I want to just reiterate one of the main things that we've said throughout this presentation, and that is CARC is an open group. We are open to new members. We welcome new members. We need new members. And we need our existing members to become more involved. So if you are looking at all of this and wondering what the very first step is to getting involved, the very first step is to join the People Network. From there, that will get you connected with the mailing lists, and you'll be in the loop on all of the messaging that CARC sends out. And that will just be your perfect entry to getting involved. So with that, I'll ask one more time if we have any questions. Okay, and I guess if we don't have any questions, I will call it. We did this in about 45 minutes, so record time. Thanks everybody for staying on time and for all your hard work on this presentation. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Daphne.
Thanks, everybody,
Thanks,
for coming.
Daphne. Great
Thank
job.
you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks.